computer technology and the internet. The show airs the first and third Saturdays of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com.
I'm Gregory Berg, and there'll be no morning show on Monday because of the Independence Day holiday. But on Tuesday's morning show, you'll hear my conversation with the author of a fascinating new book called Hippie Incorporated, which examines some of the innovative entrepreneurial ideas of some of the first hippies in the mid-1960s. Support for the morning show comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Information at carthage.edu/grad. Supporting WGTD is the Bristol Renaissance Fair, featuring an open-air marketplace, food, drink, and non-stop entertainment, all in the style and pageantry of 16th century England. Online at renfair.com. Open weekends through Labor Day.
Support for WGTD comes from Andrea's. Outdoor concert season is upon us, and Andrea's has picnic baskets, wine totes, and picnic knapsacks. Stop in or visit us at andreasgifts.com to buy today.
Support comes from Gateway Technical College. Become a professionally trained truck driver in just 5 weeks and get job placement assistance. Courses for the Class A CDL license are held in Kenosha year-round. Also, upgrade from a B to an A license in just 2 weeks. Visit gtc.edu.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
I'm Dwayne Olson, your host today for Education Matters on WGTD HD at Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin, at 91.1 on your FM dial, and 101.7 in Elkhorn, and 103.3 in Lake Geneva. WGTD is a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio Network. Our program today focuses on an important co-curricular activity that has been taking place in southeastern Wisconsin for many years. It is now known as the Racine-Kenosha English Festival. Our guest today to tell us about this most interesting and challenging program are Cynthia Cindy Larson from Racine and Linda Zimmerman from Kenosha. Welcome to Education Matters to the both of you.
Thank you for having us.
It's good to have you with us today. So let's start our program today by having each of you introduce yourselves. I know that Cindy was an English teacher at Starbuck Middle School in Racine Unified, so we'll start with Cindy. Cindy Larson.
Yeah, I was excited about the mission goal of English Festival when I first started teaching in 1989, and I've been serving on the committee since then. I feel it's an important opportunity for our young people to be excited about reading and writing.
Okay, and it started before 89, or you pulled it together in 89?
It started in 1984.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's incredible. But there aren't many institutional kinds of things back and forth between the public schools, Racine and Kenosha Unified, and the private and parochial schools in our area. So that's really wonderful.
We're quite proud of that.
Oh, you have every reason to be. Okay, then Linda Zimmerman.
Well, I was a former newspaper reporter, and I was a stay-at-home mom, and my youngest daughter was looking forward to participating, and she wasn't going to be able to because they didn't have a member of the school, of that particular school, to be there. So I went to the committee and inquired if just a parent could be there, and they welcomed me with open arms, and that was some 9 years ago. So I love the work that the teachers do, and I felt it was very exciting to support them and then to see the children's reaction to the books and meeting a real-life author. It's been a great experience, and I look forward to it every year.
Oh, wonderful. And so I'm sure that the kids do too, Cindy.
Right. Well, we never let Linda get away with just saying, I'm just a parent, because there are several parents serving on the committee.
Yes.
And it is a community effort between the Racine Public Library, Kenosha Public Library, the school districts, parents, other educators who all volunteer their time.
Okay, and there are several private and parochial schools involved.
Absolutely.
As well.
And homeschooling as well.
Pardon?
And homeschooling as well.
Homeschooling. So people who are listening and homeschool their children then could just contact you ladies? And
they're very welcome. We've had several homeschooling parents over the last few years, and it's a great experience for them. They enjoy the chance for their children to participate in the workshops, and it's great for everybody.
Well, it's a wonderful enrichment kind of thing. I can see that.
Absolutely. The only concern we have is that we're so excited about the numbers of students that have participated that we don't want to overgrow our size at either Carthage College or UW-Parkside, who alternately host the event. So we'll be sure that we tell you then, Duane, that Susan Mursky would be the contact at Kenosha Unified, and
okay.
Dr. Christopher Thompson at Racine Unified, and they could contact either of those people, and they would put the school in contact, or homeschool students, in contact with a committee member in order to find out if they would be able to join us.
Okay, and if they can't join this year, maybe they could join in another year when you have more room or something like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Correct, because really, to join, it's not something you just jump in at a certain point. It takes a year to prepare.
Yes.
And we have monthly meetings, and we have each teacher from every well, not each teacher, but a teacher from every school representing that school present to assist with developing the workshops and that. So it's a shared burden, shall we say.
Okay, and so the teachers then the schools then have to be sure that they are represented so they know what's going on, what the expectations
Correct.
Are and for the kids who
and
participate.
And that's how we've gotten a few parents involved, because if the English teacher is not able to make it, then the parents have come forward and they carry back the information to the teachers at the school.
Oh, wonderful. Well, let's move on. I think what we're doing, too, is getting off to a good start here, but I think we're going to cover several of the questions that we're going to talk about later on. So before we discuss your recent festival, let's talk about the history of the Racine Kenosha English Festival. And, Cindy, the reason I picked up on this program, to the listeners here, is I read a letter to the editor in the Racine Journal-Times then that Cindy had written thanking people for participating in the recent program. And it hit me then that she indicated it was its 32nd year, and it hit me that this would make an excellent program for our listeners on Education Matters. So how did the festival come into being?
Well, in 1984, Dr. Howard Moon, who is from Kenosha Unified, and Joe Pappenfuss from Racine, put their heads together trying to come up with some event for our middle school students. And that in the beginning, it was for 7th and 8th graders at the middle school level, as well as 9th and 10th graders. And so we found a common author that would work for both. Books were selected, and they were off and running.
And off you got going mm-hmm. then 32 years ago then.
Right.
Was this when the Regional Staff Development Center was functioning over at UW-Parkside? Is that a product of that?
Well, I'm not sure if it was an exact product of that, though we did use their meeting site at the staff center there for our monthly meetings. I do want to mention that we were recognized by the Wisconsin State Reading Association with the Celebrate Literary Organization Award back in 2007. So we have received some recognition for the program.
And one of the things I wanted to ask after reading your materials and reading more about this on your website was to ask, has the Racine Journal-Times or the Kenosha News ever done an extensive article on your program?
Well, there's been a number of articles. Each year, we've contacted the newspapers, and quite often they have come out to take photographs of the author, some of our workshops. So it has been fairly well covered by both counties.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, I'm glad to hear that, because this, to me, that it just strikes me as one of those very enriching kinds of activities that schools do and don't get much credit for. And yet, if people like you put a lot of work into this, and your committee then put a lot of work into this, and it's so important for the kids.
Well, it is absolutely a team effort. From the ground up.
Well, that's great, because I guess nothing happens unless you have teams then. Okay, so what's the purpose of the festival? Let's talk about that a little bit more in depth here.
Well, the goal has always remained the same for English Festival. That's to increase the love of reading and writing in our students through their reading of quality books. The day of the event, it offers the students the opportunity to participate in a variety of workshops. They get to pick these ahead of times, and we try and coordinate it so that the kids will actually get into the particular workshop they want. And these can include such things as poetry, creative writing, a mock trial. We've had animals present sometimes, Owl Sanctuary to cover, was the Owl Keeper, I think was the name
Hoot.
Of the book?
Hoot. Was
Hoot?
It a book? Hoot?
Yeah, and then the Owl Keeper.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, you had an Owl Keeper?
The book was called The Owl Keeper by Christian Jones, Breeden Jones.
You have a better memory than I do.
But, yeah, we were fortunate enough to have a local sanctuary that brought in some owls for the kids. And it was
wonderful.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing.
So you try to tie the workshops then to the books that the kids
absolutely.
Are expected to read.
Absolutely. And that's where our community, we give high praise to our community, because we have people who volunteer their time, and it might be a hobby or it might be a form of their business, but they come in and they relate directly to the kids.
Yes. Oh, that's wonderful. And, go ahead.
And I was also going to say the probably the most exciting part is when the kids are able to meet one author. Of the six books, we have one of those authors who comes for both days and addresses the kids and also answers their questions and also signs books for them. So they actually have the opportunity to see them up close.
A real live human author.
Right, correct. And we have some students who are almost in tears as they meet their hero authors, and will tell them that they have begun writing because they were so inspired by the book. And so it's extremely rewarding for us as the organizers to see that connection. And for the authors as well.
Yes.
Because they know that these children have read the books as an extracurricular activity. It's not required. So those kids really want to be there.
We were especially excited one year and moved when Ruta Sepetys was there, Between Shades of Gray. And it made a connection between the students and their parents, because some of their parents had been involved in the events. Was that was Lithuania?
Yes,
I believe so. And the tragedy that went there on there with the Russians,
right?
And so the kids connected, and they were talking to their parents about the book, and they were really excited to meet Ruta.
Okay, so it really generates intergenerational
mm-hmm.
kinds of
Absolutely.
Activities on the part of these kids with older people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in fact, specifically with that author, I had a couple of friends were in a book club,
yes.
and when they found out my involvement with English Festival and that there was this particular book, they were traveling to Lithuania the following year. And so they said, could we please attend English Festival? And I said, you're a bit old, but by all means come. And they did. They stood in line with kids half their size. They had their books, and they met the author. They traveled over there, and they actually met a couple of the people that Ruta had written about, and then they came back and corresponded directly with the author, who was over the moon that, you know, these people had actually come to the festival and made the connection. So that's a rare situation, but
yes. Well, one of the things that when I was reading your material, I was thinking about too, have you ever had a student then come through and start being an author himself or herself then as a result of participating? Can you think of any through your history with this?
Not with direct knowledge, but however, I'll meet somebody at central office where we were trying to have invoices paid from the expenses, and one young man shared, well, I recall going to English Festival when I was an eighth grader, or a person who worked for Time Warner Cable, and he came and did some videography with the students, and he recalled his experiences, and that's why he was willing to volunteer.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. wonderful. Wow. That 32 years of history then is really helping you.
We've actually had two teachers who said they were inspired. I believe they were Kenosha teachers. They were inspired to become teachers through English Festival.
Oh, so. That is really wonderful. Okay, so let's talk about it's held at the University of Wisconsin Parkside campus, the Carthage College campus. So you alternate years, and this current year, it was in March, at Carthage?
Yes.
And then next year it will be at?
Parkside.
At Parkside. Okay, that's really great. Okay, now tell our listeners what the students have to do in order to participate. So there's some requirements.
They read the required 6 books that we select, and they're all not necessarily fiction. There are some nonfiction books. We're careful to pick a variety of genre so that we hit the interests of all of them. As they read each of the books, they are required to either take a quiz or some other alternative activity to prove that they have read the books. And that's all there is to it. There's no fees involved at all for students to attend.
Linda, you want to add to that?
I think Cindy's explained it fairly well.
Uh-huh.
The idea is that we are getting the students who are most interested in coming. And this does not necessarily mean that they are the most proficient readers. When we choose the books, we try to get maybe one or two that are what we classify as an easy read. The idea is to encourage the kids into reading, and it's very non-competitive. So we're really opening this up to the 7th and 8th graders, anyone who has a desire to read and has a particular interest in it. And we do cover, as Cindy mentioned, different genres, including graphic novels, science fiction, historical fiction. We even have verse. And we do try and make sure there's a good balance of male and female, protagonist. And so, like I say, we try to appeal to as broad a range as we can.
Right. Okay. And that makes a lot of sense because you're dealing with kids who have a broad range of interests. Okay. Now, one of the things that you did this past year at Carthage College then, and you had 580 7th and 8th graders there, you had Skype experiences for the kids. Tell us about Skype.
Well, I think it started a couple of years ago when I was trying to reach out to the authors, and sometimes it's fairly simple. Other times it's a little more challenging. And I knew there was one particular author who could not make it. And I just off the cuff said, is there a chance we could Skype? I don't have the technical expertise, but I figured I could find someone to make that come together.
Yes.
And she generously offered to do so. So ever since that time now, I will try and ask the other authors as well.
And that worked well then?
It was great.
Uh-huh.
Because we had it on a large screen. The kids were well prepared since they sign up for these workshops and they knew they were going to the Skype workshops. They had their questions ready.
Ah.
And for the author, it was very rewarding because she knew that these kids really wanted to talk to her.
Yes.
And I think one of our first authors was in a high-rise New York apartment, and she actually took her laptop and said, well, this is where I live. She opened the window. She showed the city below her and then walked it around the apartment, showed them where she sits to read or where she sits to write her stories.
Yes.
And the children felt like they were sitting in her living room with her. It was very gratifying.
Oh, and that's really wonderful because then the author comes off as a real human being,
right.
Who lives in a real place, etc.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that is really great. Okay, and then it says you also had writing and art workshops and that sort of thing. How do you incorporate art into this?
Well, one of the ways kids are able to create a poster relating to one of the novels. We had Karen Johnson there doing Create a Monster. We had another one creating a mask with different materials. We've had a math workshop. So any kind of activity that relates to the themes of our various books, this is where the committee brainstorms comes up with individuals. We contact them, and often they are willing to participate.
So basic to what you do is select your books first, and then building on that, then you select workshops that fit in with the themes of the books.
Correct. We try to get some hands-on creative activities so that the students are really involved and in expanding their knowledge as well as we take off from the
books. Well, that's I think the direction of education today is interactive learning instead of just passive kinds of being lectured to and all that sort of thing.
We've had a couple of books dealing with the Second World War, and we've actually been able to bring in veterans who have sat down and talked with the children. And that has been very moving because sometimes they don't want to speak by themselves.
Yes.
So we will have two or three come in, and they will be typically in a classroom with maybe 20 children. We've had Second World War people from Europe who talked about the conditions that they grew up in. And they sit there and relate stories. And some of those children, when they go home, they found out that, yes, their parents went through, or their grandparents, rather, went through a similar experience. So it teaches them history as well.
So it's not only English and literature and that sort of thing. It's also history, et cetera, geography, and that sort of thing. Wonderful.
And we've been very pleased that the Racine County District Attorney, Richard Cipetti, for, I would say, maybe 10 to 15 years when he was a prior assistant district attorney, puts it on his calendar every year to come and spend time with young people talking about the trials, situations, and how things are handled. Because there's usually one of our novels or books where there's some theme that relates to making a decision if somebody's guilty or not guilty.
Oh, isn't that is really excellent then, and the kids really respond then to that?
They do.
And then they also get a good sense of what a judge is and what a lawyer does, and that's right. Mm-hmm. So that's a career type of information as well.
We've actually done what we call mock trial workshops, which are among the most popular workshops for the kids.
So who do you get to, say, moderate that sort of workshop? And with Rich Cipetta, I suppose, could do that. But then what about teachers then, or who would moderate the workshop dealing with the veterans of World War II?
Often it might be just a volunteer person on the committee that had the connection with that person. So the people coming in feel comfortable sharing it because they know the teacher or parent volunteer there to help with that.
Okay. Let's talk about let's move on and talk about the books that you used this past workshop, then this past festival. Tell our listeners what those books were and who were the authors of those books.
We had The Lions of Little Rock by Kristen Levine, and she was our guest author. We had Counting by Sevens, which is Holly Goldberg Sloan. She was a Skype author. We had El Defo by Cece Bell, and she was another Skype author. The interesting thing about El Defo was it was really, she explained what it's like to be in the world of being a deaf person. She herself is deaf. So you ask us, how did we do a Skype? Well, she has the special hearing aid, and she was wearing that, and she Skyped with the children, and she took it out and put it back in, and she answered all of their questions on what it was like to be deaf from a young child. So that was perhaps one of the most moving workshops. And we
well, and see, and you have deaf children in schools all the time,
right.
So that to help the children be more empathetic with mm-hmm. kids that could run into or people.
Right, and then we had A Monster Calls by Patrick Ness, and then we had Zane and the Hurricane by Rodman Philbrick, and he was our third Skype author. And when we did his Skype, he was sitting at his home in Florida. It was
uh-huh.
a balmy 80 degrees while we were, I think, maybe 35 degrees. But he had a great discussion. And then we had The Gardener by Stephanie Bodine. And this is the second book we've used by Stephanie. We had her a couple of years ago with the book The Raft, and she was actually our guest author at that time. So we had a very good group.
So why these books then?
Well, you want to put a discussion going on amongst a group of teachers that teach English or who are very passionate
yes.
about books. It becomes very interesting as you start with a huge list and you wheedle it down and then you wheedle it down some more so that you come up with six quality books for that. Yeah.
So the members of the committee, do they come together then with suggestions then for
right,
books to be
right.
considered?
Right. A lot of the teachers also have been reading already on their own and scoping out books that they think will be good. They've actually had some of their kids reading through, so they come forward with a book and said, hey, my girls really love this or the boys are really excited about this.
Yes.
But, you know, all the teachers, I would say all the volunteers, usually bring one or two suggestions, so it's a lot of books to try to winnow down. But in the end, we're trying to give a good selection and cover the different genres, not have too much historical fiction or too much fantasy fiction or something like that, so that the kids have a variety.
And, you know, the new standards have moved toward nonfiction, but you're trying to keep it a balance then between nonfiction and fiction and so on.
We try to do our best yes. in that area, Duane.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, from year to year, then, you know, mm-hmm. it depends on what's available, I suppose, too.
Correct.
Okay. So I think we've talked about selecting the books, and you people then are your committee then is responsible for winnowing this down. And so let's move on to the information provided indicated that the day's activities included a variety of workshops for their students. We've talked about some of those workshops. Let's talk a little bit more about those workshops and what attracts the kids to the workshops.
Sometimes the most difficult thing is being able to provide some descriptor in a short amount of space, because students are allowed to select five workshops, rank order them in order of preference, and then when we work to assign them. So we try to get the information out as best we can to them so that they're aware of the opportunities that we provide.
And they can make an educated, you know, decision on what they wish to attend, as opposed to just going with their best
yes.
friend to the same workshop. So.
And then what you do is take the information they provide and then assign them to workshops given the number space that they have for that each workshop, etc.
Based upon their student choices.
Yes.
We do our best to do that. And
right.
we work as a committee then in planning that out. We've had dance
right.
activities.
I think one of the most popular ones was a self-defense, where we had somebody come in to demonstrate, and it was done at Carthage College in the gym. And we had mats, they brought mats down, and we had, I would say, almost equal number of girls and boys signed up for that one.
Oh, my.
So that was hugely popular.
And yoga. You know, we cover the whole gamut. Again, finding presenters and that relate to the themes of our books.
And the whole idea, of course, is the kids have read books dealing with these topics. So
right.
it's not just experiencing the topic, but it's reading and getting some background
right.
and that sort of thing.
Right. I mean, this year we also had the Wisconsin Humane Society and Safe Harbor from Kenosha, because we had two different books that had dogs in them.
Oh, really?
So we had those people come in and talk about it. And I happen to have a therapy dog, so we brought him in as a very live demonstration
yes.
type of thing. And the kids loved it. They relate very well usually to animals. So we try to give the kids something very interesting to participate in.
So motivation is very basic to what the committee is thinking about in terms of choosing these books for these kids.
We don't want them nodding off in their workshop.
Exactly, right. Okay, and the idea of therapy dogs, that's getting to be so much more prevalent in our society today, so it's something to know about.
Correct.
That's really great. Okay, let's see. If we talked about this year's featured speaker, Kristen Levine was your guest author or whatever?
Yes, and she really did relate well to our students. She talked about, you know, how she became a writer, the process she went through to become one, and the most exciting thing is how to see the excitement of students. I think Linda mentioned this before, as they're able to talk with her firsthand.
Ah.
And so when we do review the books, Linda works very hard at checking out what the fees are for having them come to present to the students. But we also are sure that the books that they've written are either award winners or top-notch books, so that the authors who are invited will be ones that the students will enjoy.
Okay, and thinking in terms of award winners, you're thinking of Caldecott and Newbery's, plus
correct,
I suppose some others?
Yes.
Okay.
And as we look at a young adult, we do have a retired Racine Public Librarian on the committee, as well as a current librarian and school librarians as well. So they're all involved in helping us choose high-quality books.
Boy, that's really great. As a teacher yourself, Cindy, did you notice that the kids, after they had experienced this, that they had worked harder then in what they were writing then for you?
Yes, and then you'd also see them want to read other books by these authors.
Ah.
And that was exciting. Today's world, there are a lot of books that are series, you know, type books.
Right.
And kids, once we entice them with one, then they become more interested in reading some of the other titles within the series as well.
That makes me think of Harry Potter. Did you do any Harry Potter?
No, we didn't.
Is there a reason why you avoided Harry Potter?
Well, I think because we knew that it was so well read.
Yes.
That we do try and get books that that they haven't already read. Otherwise,
right,
it's a little bit tedious. I mean, they've already done that book.
Yeah, so that would be repetitious and so
correct
forth. And you're trying to also be the teacher, too, in terms of steering them to some other quality literature.
Absolutely.
That they might not otherwise know about or read.
And we always bring in the books by the author as well as the books of the other authors. So all six books are available for the kids to purchase, as long as they're in paperback. So this gives the kids a chance, if there's other author books, they can pick up those books and have it signed by the author, which is another very exciting thing for them. It gets a little bit hectic. A few years ago, we were only a couple hundred students. Now when you have 580, that's a lot of...
And that's your capacity, kind of?
Correct. So that's almost roughly 300 per day. So you try and get 300 kids through the signing line with the author. It's poetry in motion some days, and other days it gets pretty frantic, but it's all fun.
Okay, at this point I want to remind our listeners that this is your host, Dwayne Olson, and you're listening to Education Matters on WGTD HD at 91.1 on your radio dial from Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Today I am visiting with Ms. Cindy Larson and Ms. Linda Zimmerman, the co-directors then of the Racine Kenosha English Festival. And now back to our program, and our time is going by much, much, much too rapidly. So tell our listeners about your website, because that's, I think, something new, isn't it, that you have?
Well, a variety of people, some teachers, have set up their own websites with information on English Festival. Rachel Zuffa, our librarian from Racine Public Library, was also a teacher at McKinley Middle School, a librarian there. And she has developed a site at racinelibrary.info/WordPress.
Okay.
And she right now is our most up-to-date site. As soon as we finish selecting our books, which will occur at our June 2nd meeting, she'll be posting that information We get that information out as well through Barnes & Noble, who's been a good partner with us as well in English
Wonderful.
Festival. And the libraries will have that information as well. So I think we're going to be refining that Racine site, library site, more as our general best
is your
place
basic site then
for information.
Yeah, because I went somewhere. I had just Googled Racine Kenosha English Festival, and this is what I got.
You were able to find.
There
are some Google sites, but I think we're going to further develop that Racine Public Library one because we'll be able to put past book titles, information on authors. At least that's what our goal is right now.
Okay, that's really wonderful. What about awards now? My understanding is you're not into awards or and competition and that sort of thing.
Yes, and we have in the past had judging for creative posters, the creative poetry writing, and the creative writing. We've never advertised that to the kids that there would be any prizes awarded. So we've had means of collecting either donations or even teachers and parents have donated money toward this area, so we could give out some recognition. But we don't want English Festival to become a competitive place. It's a place for kids to come and enjoy and be excited about reading and writing.
An experience. Go ahead.
We don't want the prizes to be the motivating factor.
Yes.
Several years ago, though, the Kenosha newspaper, and I'm not quite sure of what the title of
Kenosha
that paper,
News
had sponsored an essay writing contest.
Oh.
And again, a group of the committee worked in a very interesting way to come up with an essay that could be applied to any of the 6 books that were selected, and this was done prior to English Fest. They were submitted and then judged, and then students were awarded savings bonds. This was done by Kenosha News. That dropped off, and so I know you've asked us later if there was ever a means of some money coming into English Fest.
Yes.
That could be something that we could look forward to developing again.
Okay, let's talk about funding English Fest then. How is English Festival funded then?
Well, it's basically funded through donations from Parkside, Carthage, the PTAs, the PTSOs, and sometimes even community members who are interested in backing this amazing program. The Racine Kenosha Reading Council also donates funds towards the fees of the author. And it could not occur without the support of RUSD and KUSD. That's both of the unified school districts, purchasing books for the schools, arranging for the busing on the day of the event, and substitutes for the teachers who attend with their students.
Yes, and that substitute business is a very important part because now do whole classes go or do just part of the student body go?
It's the qualifying students, the students who qualify by reading the books, completing the quizzes, and those are the students that go.
Okay, so this is completely voluntary then. So
correct.
The whole class could volunteer and do that, meet the requirements, or just select?
Just a few.
Yes, we have anywhere from 100 kids from a school to maybe 3 kids from
is
a smaller
right?
school. So it's whatever those children have decided if this is a goal for them to read those 6 books. I do want to mention that in the year 2013-14, S.C. Johnson provided us with a generous grant from which we were able to pay for all the expenses that year for the festival. And one year we also received a Kids First grant that paid for part of the cost of the books. S.C. Johnson continues to purchase additional books for the schools in Racine County. And in the past, Barnes & Noble has been involved in the donation of gift cards, and we do work with Barnes & Noble with a book fair as well as their participation on the days of the event in providing other copies of the titles of our English Festival authors.
Wonderful. Let's talk about access to the books. So books are purchased and what go to the schools and are available in the schools, in the school libraries or through the teachers or how?
That's decided by individual schools. Some schools have them available in the library and then the librarians help spend time talking with the kids, encouraging them to sign books out besides the individual teachers. Some teachers, English teachers, may prefer to have them in the classroom, but between what's purchased for the buildings, what is available at both the Racine and Kenosha public libraries.
Also, the public libraries have copies too.
As well, and they do their best to help publicize it. And then Barnes & Noble, as well, is aware of our titles, and they have them available if parents or students want to go in and purchase their own copy.
Okay, that's really wonderful. So kids can purchase copies, or they can check them out of their libraries at school or their public libraries.
Right. I do want to make sure we have time to mention the importance of both Carthage and University of Wisconsin Parkside's participation. Without their offering their site on alternate years, in order for us to hold all our workshops and have the guest author appear, we wouldn't be able to do this. So the role of Kenosha Unified, Racine Unified, and both Carthage and Parkside, that's essential to the success of English Festival. And we thank them.
Yeah. Because on the day of, their staff is usually around to facilitate. One of the most popular workshops is a tour of both of those campuses, so the kids can actually sign up and they get a firsthand look at what it would be like to attend either Carthage College or University of Wisconsin Parkside. And it is a guide that takes them all throughout the campus, answers all of their questions, and that's pretty cool if you're a seventh or eighth grader.
And yeah, right. And there's another dimension then to what you're doing. So it's not only literature and the arts and that sort of thing, but it's career kind of thinking too that comes in as a result.
A representative from the admissions office, or maybe even we've had Chancellor Deborah Ford speak to the students.
Wonderful.
So they make an effort at each of the schools, the colleges, to talk to students, welcome them to the campus, and talk to them about possibly considering attending their college one day.
Exactly. Oh, that is really is wonderful. Let's see now. We're really getting winding down here in terms of time. Is there anything else that we need to cover? Let's talk about your plans for next year. So where are you in terms of planning for next year?
Well, this is actually a really exciting month for us, because no sooner do we get through the one festival than we have to really put our heads together and plan for the next festival.
Yes.
Because we need to have our books decided before the summer break, and that allows me the time to start researching authors and finding an author. And once we reconvene in September, then we are full force to making the workshops come together.
Before we went on the air, you were telling us both about how you go about contacting authors. Tell our listeners just a little bit about that activity.
That's always fun because, as you asked, am I dealing with their publicist? And sometimes I am and sometimes not. And it's always interesting when you start talking to their people. And I'm writing letters back and forth. I'm negotiating fees and trying to get, we obviously cannot have authors that are tens of thousands of dollars. And sometimes all it takes is just a little bit explaining about who we are and what we're doing and the fact that it is done by volunteers, that they're very generous. They will reduce their fees to make it come together for us, and the
wonderful.
Same with the Skypes.
Okay. Yeah, and the idea of Skype then, and I think you told us that you can even get some people at no charge because of that.
Well, bear in mind that all of our workshops are being facilitated by a lot of people from the community, and they donate their time. Therefore, in my mind, if we have a Skype workshop, I'm looking to get them to donate their time as well. So usually when I explain that it is a workshop, that it's 40 minutes, and that perhaps we've had another offer that was generous enough. They really want to help out with the kids too. Not in every case. I've had some hold out, and then we just have to kind of bid farewell to that one because we can't really afford to spend a couple $1,000 for 40 minutes.
Right. Okay. So, and also, before we close up, I want to mention that Sue Mirsky is the person in central office at Kenosha Unified, or Dr. Christopher Thompson at Racine Unified. Those are the people to contact if you want more information about the festival. So to our radio audience, we say thank you for being with us today as we visited with Ms. Cindy Larson and Ms. Linda Zimmerman, the co-directors of the Racine Kenosha English Festival. Thank you so much, Cindy and Linda, for joining me to discuss this most important and challenging co-curricular activity in our southeastern Wisconsin schools. Certainly in this time where there seems to be less emphasis on and less concern for the liberal arts, the festival makes an important contribution to young people understanding the culture in which they participate. This is really an exciting activity, and I wish you well on behalf of our kids and our communities. Finally,